What's up, Bristol Bible Chapel? Happy to be on your screen today. Definitely wish you were all here. I definitely enjoy being able to see you all and just speak to you and interact with you. And it's definitely been a little bit of a battle for me just having to speak into the microphone. But I'm so thankful that the word of the Lord goes out anyway, even in these unexpected times, that God is still in control and that his word can't be stopped. I hope you are continuing to stay encouraged. I know for me, this is something that I've never experienced anything like this. But at the same time, it's comforting to know that the Lord is in control. It's comforting to know that he is at work. He wasn't surprised by any of this. And I truly believe that if you keep seeking him, if you keep staying encouraged, you'll really see that the Lord has something really awesome in store, and that he's even working right now, and that even when all this is over, I believe that we can look back and say, wow, that God really used that. He really used these difficult times. And if you are going through a challenge right now, I just want you to know that all of us are really, really pulling for you and really, really here for you. And just stay positive, because the Lord can change anything. We are continuing our study of 1 Thessalonians. It is Paul's earliest letter, and he is writing to these young believers, these young converts who just became saved. And if you haven't already, I would encourage you to look at Acts chapter 16 and 17, which kind of explain just the journey of Paul and company, and just his last trip with the Thessalonians. And it didn't really go all that well, as it says only a few were saved, and then that the Jews became hostile and there was an angry mob that formed, and Paul had to end up just paying their way out of there to even leave the place. But yet he still writes to the Thessalonians in such a positive manner, and it's very encouraging just seeing the type of leader. And I think you really see his characteristic unfold in this chapter especially. And we're going to pick it up in verse 7 of chapter 2. Just to give you a little background, I'm going to read through the whole chapter, starting in verse 1. "For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please men, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor the pretext for greed, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we are ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct towards you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus there in Judea, for you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out and displeased God and opposed all mankind by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them at last. But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face. Because we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. Let's just open quickly in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful that the word of the Lord goes out and that it can't be stopped. Lord, I'm so thankful that you chose people like Paul to write this letter. And even in the circumstances that he faced, that he was able to stay the course and write a letter that we're able to study even now, Lord. And I just pray that you would speak through me, encourage the saints, Lord. And I just praise you during this time. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. So picking up in verse 7, Paul says, "We were gentle among you." Remember, this letter is going out to the Thessalonians who are newly saved, which means that they are going to make mistakes. If you are a new Christian, all of your sins, all of your shortcomings, they're not just going to go away all at once. You've been living in your old nature for quite a while, that just because you become saved doesn't mean that those lifestyles or those hindrances don't still come up. And Paul understands that. Paul understands that he can't, when these young Christians make mistakes, or even if they're confused in how to establish their church, that it's Paul's job, and he's been placed by God in this position to guide them in establishing the church and having a conduct in the way that they must go. And he uses the simile here, like a nursing mother with her children, and then even in 11, like a father with his children, meaning that the saints are young in faith, and now it's Paul, like a parent, there to instruct, there to guide, there not to put them down and discourage them, that they walk away from the faith completely, but that they guide them in a gentle, compassionate way so that they can now go on to make an impact for the kingdom of God. And Paul has a genuine desire, a genuine interest for the people here. It is not just for his own personal status or any type of religious requirement. It's nothing like that. He actually cares so much about these people and wants to instruct them in the way to go. And it's very interesting how he writes this, because this chapter has been called the model walk or the model servant. And he doesn't just say in this letter to them, this is what you should do, and he just lays it out for them. But instead, he tells them how Paul, how Silvanus and Timothy, how they all walked when they came to visit them, because they were witnesses to it. And he uses that phrase a few times, that you know how we came to you the first time. So he's using his own life as an example to them, and he's able to do this because he has such a compassion and such a love for them. Reading this verse, it reminds me of what he writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we'll go there. Starting in verse 1, he says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing." And this idea goes on, just speaking about love and how if you do any type of work, especially that of the work of the Lord, and you don't love what you're doing, if you don't love God's people, if you don't love serving God, then you're not living up to your full potential. You're not going to enjoy the work, and you're not going to have as much impact as you could have. So a question, whatever role you have, whether it's in the church or your families or any type of leadership position at all, it's, do you love the work you're doing? Do you love the people? Do you love the position you're placed in? And does it align with what God has for you, for your purpose, for your calling? Do you even know your purpose and your calling? I think that we each have experiences. We each have different talents. We each have different different groups of people that we come into contact with on a daily basis that are unique to us. And it's something that your walk gives you that outlet in order to share the gospel with them. And that's why Paul says in verse 8, we are ready to share with you not the gospel of God, but also our own selves. That once you align your thoughts and your ways and your desires with God's thoughts, then you could use that as an outlet to now your life, your day-to-day walk, your conduct preaches Christ. It doesn't always have to be memorizing a certain amount of verses or praying this many times and throughout the day or throughout the week and having some type of system in place for this is how you're going to get people to save, this is how you're going to ask people to come to church, and you have like this list of bullet points you have to accomplish every time you go speak to someone. That's not how it necessarily works. It's being ready, like Paul uses this word ready. It's being available, not even needing to know what you're going to say, but trusting that when you show up, that God is going to be able to show out. We've been studying in our devotions through the emails that our brother has so kindly put together. And if you look in 2 Chronicles, Jehoshaphat is faced with battle, with enemies on every side of him. And he doesn't know how he's going to beat this one. He even says to the Lord, I don't know what to do. And the Lord's response is, go show up. Go prepared. You won't have to fight this battle, but I still need you to show up. And that's what Paul says, ready to share with you the gospel. We might not know what opportunity we're going to have. We may not know what verses we're going to lead you to or how we're even going to do it, but we're ready. We're available. And that's even a question or even a prayer I've had lately in this time, in this circumstance, something that, like I said, it's unexpected. We didn't necessarily plan to shut down everything. But are you still ready? Are you still available to those who really need you right now? And do you have a genuine desire to seek those who need Christ? And are you willing to be an outlet for Christ? And that's something that's such a privilege and something not to be taken lightly, is that when you're walking in obedience, when you have that genuine relationship with the Lord, when people pray to the Lord, he could send you to be their answer. That's something that's always struck me, is that someone's crying out to the Lord and the Lord's response is to send you. And he gives us that privilege to be able to serve him and especially his people. And that's something that shouldn't be taken lightly. And are you ready? Are you available when God calls? Again, Paul uses, because you had become very dear to us. And throughout this whole letter, throughout this whole passage, he uses you, just putting the emphasis on them, the Thessalonians, the young Christians here, just showing how much it's about them and how much it's about God and not necessarily how good they were. And even you get in verse 5, we never came with words of flattery. We never came for our own approval. And he says in 6, we could have made demands as apostles of Christ, but we didn't. We had a genuine interest in you. We had a genuine calling to guide you, young Christians, young Thessalonians, and because of that, you have become very dear to us. And he works night and day. They work night and day. You get the impression that he wouldn't be someone that just goes and preaches and collects his check and then leaves and never thinks about the people again. He was all in for the work of the Lord. For this season of his life, it was the Thessalonians. That's where God placed him. And he was willing to work night and day for it. And I think anyone who serves a role in the church and who really has walked with the Lord for a little while, you understand that sometimes the Lord shows up in the middle of the night or early in the morning, or even times when it's inconvenient to your normal day-to-day schedule. That's where God is trying to do a work in you. And that's the impression I get when he says we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to you. It's we still sought you even though it was inconvenient for us. And you are witnesses to it. He says this, and he says this a few times throughout this chapter, is basically laying out the conduct that they had when they were in the Church of the Thessalonians. And he's laying out exactly how they acted, but he doesn't elaborate on and on and on about saying, looking for their own personal approval. Instead, he says, this is what we did. You know it. You were there. If you don't believe it, God was witness to it. And that's all the time we need to spend on it. I don't need to keep talking on and on about what we did. It's the emphasis is back on you. And because of that, his character was blameless. It was holy. It was righteous. And because of that, that conduct that we are supposed to emulate, it gave these young believers also, they were able to imitate the leadership that was before them. Again, if you were in a leadership role, how serious do you take it? Do you understand that when people are following you, that it's whatever you are following? How serious do you take your conduct before Christ? Because those who are following you are following what you follow. Is it a serious walk with Christ? And I certainly believe that Paul lived a life that was selfless, and he sought the Lord constantly. And because of that, his reward is that he's able to influence those who are following him. We exhorted each one of you, we encouraged, we charged you. And I think leaders know that you can't have that much of an impact, you can't have that much influence if you don't walk it yourself. I think any leader knows that in order for you to influence an action, that you have to be capable of doing it yourself. And I know personally, I've had the privilege to coach various sports and different groups and individuals, and even recently just training certain new exercises for people, and they say, can you just show it to us first? You don't need to talk about it or explain every little detail. Can you just do it, and we can become imitators of that action? And it's the same idea here with, if Paul is just walking in a conduct worthy of the Lord, then those who are looking up to him for guidance are going to do the same. That's how, like he says back in verse 8, ready to share with you our own selves, that again, their own walk preach Christ. And we also thank God constantly for this. Just a constant thinking of the Lord, not because of the credit that they earned or the clout that they earned when speaking to the Thessalonians, but because they accepted their message as the word of the Lord first. And I think that's so important for us to not rank different teachers higher than the others or put down one over another, because what are you really here for? You come here seeking the Lord. You're not seeking men. And those who are teaching, you shouldn't be seeking the approval of those in the audience. Sure, it's nice, and sure, you're going to gravitate towards maybe one style compared to another, but do you really come in here expecting for the Lord to speak? Are you looking too much towards the messenger? Are you focused solely on what the message is? And that is the word of the Lord. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. So you can't rank one teacher higher than another. You have to dive into the word of the Lord and accept that the Lord has placed that person in that position for that reason. And Paul is very thankful that they accepted it as the word of the Lord first. That's what it really was. And because of that, now the Lord is able to do a further work. He's working in each one of our lives. And it may not seem like it all the time, but again, I encourage you to pray that prayer, Lord, align my thoughts with your thoughts, align my ways with your ways. And just let me see the work you're doing. The Lord is always at work. Yet, if you don't see it, sometimes it might be a disconnect, or it might even be that you're just missing it. And like that song says, open my eyes that I may see. Pray that prayer. I think we shy away sometimes from prayers like this, thinking that we can't say those things, or that our walk can't be like the people in the Bible that were filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you even believe that? Do you right now, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Or do you think that's just for the only really spiritual people or anything like that? Or do you truly believe that you could have that close relationship with the Lord? And do you desire that? Do you seek that? Do you get in the Lord's face and say, Lord, I want you to show me my purpose. And Lord, I want you to really use me, and I want to see what you're doing. I don't want to just go through the motions. Again, Paul is putting the emphasis back on the Thessalonians, saying how awesome it is that they became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus. And the Lord always gives us those in charge to look up to guide us, those, and even other churches and whatnot. It doesn't have to be just one system. We don't serve a systematic God. We serve the living God, and he could use us in any way. And just take into this two ways is imitators. What do you imitate? And are you realizing that people are imitating you as well? How serious do you take it? How serious do you take what you allow into your life? How much are you blocking out some of those influences? Or are you just letting whatever come into your life and then complain about why things aren't working or why your relationship with the Lord isn't what you thought it would be, but yet you're just letting these things come into your life? Are you willing to block some things out in order to imitate the true character of Christ and to walk in a godly manner? He's proud of them again because they suffered the same things from the Jews who killed the Lord Jesus, and that they chose to associate with someone who suffered. The Lord Jesus came and he didn't fit into any of the categories that men had, and they ended up crucifying him. And yet we associate with that God who wasn't accepted, and yet we still get all bent out of shape as people reject us. And sometimes we get surprised that problems come into our life. The Christian life isn't the absence of problems, and sometimes it actually is more problems. Billy Graham says, you're born, you suffer, and you die, but there's a loophole. And that loophole is that relationship with Christ, that the Christian life is a celebration. It's not just doom and gloom. It's not tribulation, but it's everything in Christ is better. And if God didn't send it, then you don't want it. And yes, you may suffer for a season, but God is with you all along, and the only reason that you're going through those valleys is to come out stronger on the other side, and you don't even realize the influence and the impact that you're having for the kingdom of heaven as you walk through those sufferings. Peter says, do not consider it strange when you suffer trials of many kind. It's going to happen. They rejected the Lord, they're going to reject you too. the Christian life is full of blessings, and being able to walk in with the Lord, and he's the creator of everything, past, present, future. He knows everything he has, and he has a plan and purpose laid out for you, and he meets you where you are, one-on-one, with all the people and all the situations and all the chaos of the world. He meets you where you are. He knows exactly what you're going through. And sometimes we sacrifice, or we don't appreciate how awesome that relationship is to have the Lord Jesus one-on-one. He calls us friend, and we can have access to him at any time. And sometimes we get comfortable, or we get so caught up in our day-to-day lives that we forget that if we just put our day-to-day lives in his hands, he could open up the heavens for anything. And sometimes we have to be able to push aside what we thought it was going to look like and really dive into what he has. After the first trip to Thessalonica, Paul is longing now to follow up and see them again. He has such a love for the people that even though he is no longer with them in person, he still wants to see them successful. He has this desire for them. He expresses how he wanted to see them in person, but their group was hindered by Satan. However, he finds another way to connect with them. He doesn't just think, oh, I tried my best, or if God wanted me to be there, he would have let me go, and he gives up. Instead, he writes this letter to them. He finds another way, and you can even say that during our time that we're dealing with right now, during this coronavirus that has shut many things down, it would be very easy for us to just not follow through with the messages or reaching out to one another and just meet back whenever this is all over. But instead, we are finding another way, and it's very encouraging that churches worldwide have continued to put out live streams and devotionals and many things for the believers, and many things for those who need Christ during this time. And it is very encouraging that the Lord is clearly at work here, even though it may not have been something that we would have asked for in the circumstances surrounding it. But at the same time, the Lord was in control all along, and his purpose is being accomplished even now. Paul does not give up when the circumstances are against him and the enemy challenges his purpose. He does not back down and say that if God would have wanted me to go back, he would have let me. And I'm sure it would have been very easy for him to get frustrated, wondering if this is even where God had led him. Remember back in Acts chapter 16 that the Holy Spirit prevented him from going to preach in Asia, and instead he gets this call to Macedonia, which is where Thessalonica is located. And just thinking about some of these events that have unfolded, and even his trip there the first time that he just has to get out of there, I'm sure he's getting very discouraged and frustrated, just wondering why, if I'm doing the work of the Lord, does it seem like everything's against me? But he continues to stay the course, continues to trust in the Lord, and ends up producing this letter that impacts our lives so many years later. And the enemy is always going to try to hinder us when we're doing the work of the Lord. One preacher puts it this way: if you haven't had a head-on collision with the devil lately, then maybe you're going in the same direction. Not that we should try to pick a fight with the enemy, or that we should ask for more problems and conflict. But when those situations do come up, and you're facing a big battle, and maybe it's left you barely hanging on, take that as confirmation that the Lord is taking you higher than you could have ever imagined. The only reason that the enemy is messing with you, trying to stop you, is because you are a threat to him when you're walking in Christ. He tries to attack you when you are the most vulnerable. And even when you're entering a new relationship with God, when God is taking you to the next level, their opposition is trying to take you down, doesn't want you to go to that next level, doesn't want you to reach that full potential. Don't stop short, get there. It would be a shame to go this far and not see what was on the other side for you, not to dive into what Christ has for you. But he attacks you when you're the most vulnerable. So that would be these young Christians. They just got saved and now they're on fire for the Lord. And that's where the enemy will try to stop you, try to get you to turn around and go back to your old ways. But he's also going to attack those who are trying to guide you. He's also going to attack those who are trying to lead the assembly. He goes after the head of the churches, and that's where Paul and company is hindered to go back. Yet the scripture says to resist the devil and he will flee from you. Eventually, the devil realizes that the closer you draw near to the Lord is just flipping everything for good, no matter what it is. It says all things work together for good to those who love God. All things, even those ugly and dark things and things you didn't ask for and those things that you would never want to go through or want anyone else to go through ever again. But the Lord was in complete control to give you that battle, and he's not going to give you a battle that you can't handle. Think about when Joseph was betrayed by his brothers, and after a lot of time goes by, the Lord establishes Joseph as really an authoritative figure during a time of famine, and his brothers need Joseph now, not knowing that he's in this position. And Joseph's response is, "You intended it for evil, but God meant it for good. And because of that, it saves many lives." Just imagine your struggle, your battle, if you can just continue to see it through, continue to walk. You don't even realize how much of an impact you are making for the kingdom of God when it's all said and done. Don't stop short without seeing what God has for you. It may not even be about you. The reason you're suffering isn't even about you, but those who are watching you, those who are following you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, Paul says, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed." I think it's very clear that if you walk close to the Lord, you're going to face seasons of trials. You're going to face seasons of suffering, but you can get through it, and you're guaranteed to get through it. When you stand on the promises of God, he's promised all throughout Scripture that it's not a strange thing that you're suffering these things, but it's actually for the kingdom of God. It's actually impacting so many lives and potential to save so many. And God is at work, and he knows what you're going through, and he relates to your sufferings. And that's why it's such a joy to be able to suffer with Christ. And I hope you really realize that the Christian life is a celebration. It's not just all sufferings, but there are seasons where things may not go as planned, but the Lord is very much in control, and just keep drawing near to him. The devil flees because he doesn't stand a chance against you in Christ. He may bruise your heel, but you will crush his head every time. And continuing in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, he says, "For this momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. What's on the other side is better. What's in Christ is better every time." Consider this letter by Paul. He has expressed his desire to meet with the Thessalonians in person. Therefore, if conditions had allowed him to, he would have done so. He would have gone and met with them. Thus, this letter would have never gotten written.
But here we are 2,000 years later, still benefiting because the Lord was in complete control and Paul stayed the course. He found another way. Churches throughout all the ages can now benefit because of Paul's heart when writing this letter, when pouring himself out. I'm sure Paul had no clue that when he was writing this letter, that his audience was the rest of us, that he's still getting blessings in heaven for his actions in writing this letter. And that's why you have no idea how much of an impact you are making. And don't you ever stop short, because you don't know your influence and who's following you and just how significant you truly are. Let God be the God of the outcome, but you just continue to show up and God is going to bless you more than you can even imagine. To the young believers at Thessalonica, I can imagine that Paul was the guy. Like they would have listened to every word that he said, and it would have been so awesome as they're reading this letter. I can imagine just imagine someone you look up to and them saying that their mission is to see you succeed and that their greatest joy is seeing you succeed. I think the greatest leaders know that they are nothing without the people that are following them. They're not a leader if they have no one behind them. And it's pretty amazing the back and forth of the relationships that God allows in our life as Paul is encouraging the people, they're encouraging him. And it's just such a blessing on both sides of this letter, both the young believers who are looking towards Paul, and then Paul just accepting his purpose to guide and just be this example of the Christian conduct. Whenever I'm feeling at my lowest, I have this scene that I like to picture in my head. I picture myself standing in heaven with a group of people, and the Lord comes over and says, "Pete, each one standing here is here because of how you walked in truth, even after all those things you went through, even when you wanted to quit, because of how you walked, each one here is here because of you." That will be my greatest joy. As it has been mentioned in the previous messages, that the Lord's coming is expressed at the ending of each chapter throughout this letter. And just to apply it to our own lives, just imagine the Lord coming back today and you standing there with your friends and your family, and they get to experience it as well. They get to experience the Lord forever. And that would be such a joy, just thinking about some of you have faced situations where your friends and families reject you because of your walk with Christ, or they don't understand you fully. And you may have walked a little bit of a different path trying, and your greatest mission while being down here is to try to speak to those people. And just imagine what a joy it would be, anyone you're dealing with who just doesn't seem to get it, but they finally do, and you're standing there. What a joy it would be knowing that because you stayed the course, because you continued to battle through, that now they are standing there next to you. What a joy. And that's where Paul could say that what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before the Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Is it not the ones that we guided to Christ? Is it not the one who followed after us because of our conduct? That is his greatest joy, is to be able to have that confirmation that is going to happen. For you are our glory and joy. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful that we're able to open up this letter and and just see the conduct and the walk that these men had towards the Thessalonians, and even just so thankful how you orchestrated it all together, that we could partake in understanding this. Lord, I just pray that you'd continue to work on our hearts and just continue to show us what you would want us to see during this time as we study this book, as we face the circumstances out in the world today. Lord, we just want to be available for you. We want to be that light. Just encourage those, Lord, who are burdened at this time, who are suffering. I pray that they would refocus, and you would guide them to a more excellent way, that they would have a new outlook on life, and that you would use them for your kingdom, Lord. Thank you and praise you in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. I pray. Amen.